T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You looked around, that thing Marcus Morris talked about, a team that wasn't having no fun. The team looked like it was having a good time last night. Guys were stepping up to their individual roles, and then those roles fit within the team and fit within the way Brad Stevens wants to coach this team. That team could inherit the best team in the NBA mantle. And that went away this year. Is it because they added one of the best players back on the court in Kyrie Irving? I can't say yes or no to that. I don't want to play the game of blame it all on Kyrie, but I do know I see what I see with my eyes. And I see a team last night that was simply better without Kyrie last night.
All right, I'll give you that. That's Will Cain. Maybe in that one game that you witnessed, they won that game by 3 points over the Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah, that you probably came to the conclusion, hey, look, there was no Kyrie Irving. He was out of this game. They won. So, therefore, if you put two and two together, you can make five if you want. You can add it up and say, see, they're better without Kyrie Irving.
I see with my eyes.
It's dumb. It's stupid. It makes no sense. If you understand how you build NBA teams, you build them with superstars. You build them with guys who have large balls. And when the game is on the line in the fourth quarter, whether you're home or away, whether the team is defending you and double and triple teaming you and shutting you down, you find a way to make it work and win. That's what Kyrie Irving is. And people were foolish.
And the great thing last night, too, was that when the double teams were there and he had nowhere to go, he found the open guy.
Sure did. That's why.
Because there was two or three guys that were on him. Two guys on him and third guy paying attention to him.
Exactly. But the public doesn't like the way he talks. And listen, I don't either. I agree with it. The world
he frustrated the hell out of me.
Flat, right? Come on.
To the point where I get to the regular, at one point in the season, I said, I'm not going to beg this guy to stay like everybody else. If he wants to go, he'll go.
Well, then I gotta
but I never admitted that the team was better without him.
Media has broken up locker room.
Lou Maloney is not done with the Celtics, just Kyrie Irving. That was March 6th on the program. You said that.
Well, that's a quote from these guys. They often misquote me.
Oh, they misquoted you?
Yeah.
It's like Mutt misquoting you. Listen, I get it. He's a diva. Which one of these guys are not diva? LeBron James, great player, right? People don't like him. Why don't you like him? Because he's a diva.
Baseball reference, I knew that.
Is he a great player? Does he win games? Does he put you over the top?
That one right there made me the greatest player of all time.
What is Kevin Durant? He's the same thing. He can't stop talking right now out there. He's getting pissed off at fans.
Grow up.
Unfortunately, the NBA, you don't see it in a lot of other sports. You certainly don't see it in hockey. I don't even think you see it in baseball.
No, and this is where it's tough to understand Kyrie Irving because you haven't had a new age NBA diva. You haven't had one. You know, this wasn't really the case back. I mean, it almost felt like LeBron was the only guy back in 07, 08, that run with the big three here, the second big three here. But for the most part, what's been going on in the NBA since and these contracts and putting teams together and Kyrie Irving is your first real experience with the new NBA, the free agent superstar.
Social media.
So I think we're having trouble trying to figure out how to deal with him. But there's no question you're better off without him. This is why you got him. The regular season, we are talking about all the time. That's why the Brad Stevens teams have been great in the past. Because the effort's there every single night. Defense is there every single night. They don't quit on games. Back-to-backs, they'll show up. Come postseason, it's a different story. You know, there's no back-to-backs. Everyone's well-rested. It comes down to the superstars. In the fourth quarter, who's going to score? Who's the guy that's going to go on the road and be consistent, play like he does on the road, like he does at home? Those are the NBA superstars. That's the difference makers for some of the elite players in this game. And they've lacked that. They've now got it in Kyrie Irving. You don't want to let it go.
I saw something last night. People were making a big deal because there was a little bit of friction there on the sideline after a play between Kyrie Irving and Brad Stevens. And my guess is that stuff like that happens all the time. I've seen it in years gone by with coaches and star players. Because you're trying to figure out what the hell just went wrong. If you're the leader on the team, your coach wants to know what the hell just went wrong. And you're sitting there, it wasn't me, it was him, or it was him. And when you look at it and the body language, people have already jumped ugly. Sitting there saying, what the hell is Kyrie getting all over the coach?
So Kyrie can't do it on his own, right?
Cannot.
Okay, so is it Tatum? Is he the guy that's got to go with him? Is it the glue? Is it Al? These are the guys that got to go, right? I'm just saying, he can't do it all himself. Last night, it was Jason Tatum.
Is
this the type of team where you expect Tatum to be there every night with Kyrie? And the question is, you know, and Al's going to do Al's thing.
Okay? What's up, guys?
We know that. He had the flu, game
I thought
he'll
gave
be fine.
A good effort last right. night, considering the flu. And he made a big play, as I said, defensive play.
Is it Hayward? Is it Jaylen Brown? Because these two can't do it.
Well, you can't just have two guys. And Tatum was terrific last night, but you can't just have two guys doing it when you get to the next level.
They have the pieces.
It's got to be more
than one's ever doubted the talent on this team.
It's the pieces, you know, gelling together.
What we haven't seen.
But Kyrie is not the problem. Kyrie is the solution with this team. And if you lose Kyrie in this offseason, and again, I think he's going to come back here, but if you lose him, I think you're screwed. Because I know what your cap limitations, what the hell do you do? Do you build around these young kids? And you really believe that these young kids, without having somebody who knows how to win late in games and is willing to put himself out there. If you watch at Indiana's defense last night, they were doing everything they possibly could to limit Kyrie Irving, to keep the ball away from him. Once he got the ball, double, triple team, trap him. And yet, because of his ball handling skills, his ability to take that ball out of traffic, he was finding daylight. And late in the game, as you pointed out, he was finding other people.
I think Celtics fans, you're in a
dilemma. Where do you find guys like that?
You're in a dilemma when it comes to Jason Tatum. See, to me, you need to decide right now if you want Anthony Davis, and you want to deal away Jason Tatum or not.
I hate Jason Tatum.
I don't think you can go into this postseason and say, well, I want to see if Tatum is great, and he was great last night. If he continues this, I'm not going to deal him. Because to me, you need to decide right now. Okay, I've decided. I'm trading Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I am too.
So I want him
I like him a lot.
But here's what you should want then, me, you and I. I want him to continue to dominate. I want him to continue to shine. I want him to go off to
increase
the
point where
people say that you can't trade him. Look what he's done. No, you don't get it. If you want Anthony Davis, you want him to go nuts. You want him to go off. You want this team to go deep and him to continue to show the improvement. Because that way you have to give up less.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
With him.
We've done this all season long. And Hayward, when he's good, it should be the second best player in his team, but Tatum's working up the ladder. Jaylen Brown's working up the ladder, but we do this all the time. So last night, Tatum was good. 2 weeks ago, we're sitting there going, Jaylen Brown, really good. What's happened to Tatum, right? And none of these guys are able to do it consistently over a long period of time, and they're not necessarily able to do it on the road the way they do it at home. Kyrie does. He is a step above every one of them. And people want to lose him, to let him go. There were people that were calling us up here a month ago who basically said, let him go for nothing.
Kyrie's great. We know that.
And you try to explain to people you can't get anything in return for him. And people are going, we're good. We're fine. We have the kids. Trust me. You'll like the cute little engine that could. You'll like it for a half a season. And then when it can't, you're not going to like it anymore. You need this guy. Kyrie Irving is a guy you need to have. Here's Jeff. He's next on OMF. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Jeff.
Hi, Glenn. I'm constantly baffled by some of your takes. On this one, not so much, and I'll get to it. I mean, you sat high above courtside for years and years and years, yet you still have some of the same old takes, and you haven't evolved. You, better than anybody, should know that matchups and styles, just like in fights, the same in basketball. The Celtics aren't going to look good against Indiana. They're just not. Not Indiana's a grinded-out tempo team that will not allow you to look good. You're going to eke out games, and you're going to get through them. When they play Milwaukee, it's a whole different animal. You've got a big, big, big advantage with Kyrie over Bledsoe. And you can say the Greek Freak has a big advantage over who he's going to match up with. But I think the bigger advantage is Kyrie and Terry Rozier over Bledsoe and George Hill. I think that will control the series.
Jeff.
The Celtics, even with Smart, will beat them.
Jeff, I know since I go in the old days, it's easy to throw it out there and say, you left the game years ago. I happen to like the game today better than I did in the 80s, and a lot of the old-timers don't, because I think it's a different game, it's a better game. But when you talk about the Indiana Pacers, you're wrong. The Celtics were 3-1 against them during the course of the regular season.
Yeah,
they didn't. Hold on. They didn't. Jeff, they can't shoot. They have nobody that can shoot. They're not a grinded out team. They're not a team that works it down on the block. That's not what Indiana is.
The game's changing, coach.
They use the shot clock, though. If they were playing,
they don't use the shot clock. They fire up threes. What are you talking about?
But they fire up threes late in the shot clock. If they were playing the Pistons.
No, they don't. Jeff, they don't. Jeff, are you watching this series?
This is in Princeton.
Oh, my God.
Jeff,
this should not be a tough matchup. This is the weakest team. I said that earlier in the program, and people are taking me to task and saying they were a five seed. They were a five seed because Victor Oladipo, don't take my word for it. Take Brian Scalabrine's word for it. He said it yesterday. He said if they had this cast of characters that they have right now from the beginning of the season with no Oladipo, they would not make the playoffs. And he's right. This is not a playoff. Playoff team.
Without Blake Griffin, wouldn't win 10 games.
This is not a playoff team that they're playing right now. Without Oladipo, they're not a playoff team.
You're barely winning these games. You're going crazy over Milwaukee blowing out Detroit. Detroit wouldn't win 15
Milwaukee's
games.
Milwaukee's a good team. I agree with you, Jeff. You're right. But they're blowing those teams out. What are you doing? You're not blowing these teams out. You're barely winning. You're down by 12 in the fourth quarter.
They're not going to blow them out, Glenn.
What do you mean you're not going to blow them out? Teams blow Indiana out all the time.
They blew them out one game without Collison. Come on.
It's unbelievable. I have no idea what. I will say this. If I'm Wick Grosbeck, you should be ecstatic. These people will never leave you, Wick. They will never, ever leave you. Your team can suck. They will never, ever leave you.
I don't get it.
I love the Celtics. I was part of the organization for years, as this guy pointed out.
Doesn't sound like you really love them, though.
But what are they watching? I mean, this is a sucky team that they're facing. What am I missing, Lou?
Yeah.
We asked for calls. The same people who called nonstop 4 weeks ago, who were ripping Kyrie Irving and want nothing to do with him. And today, we get not a single one of them.
Can I pose a question, assuming that the Celtics finish off this series in a timely fashion? Who covers Giannis in the next round?
Well, I read that Al Horford makes him
the
look
glue.
Human.
The glue.
Al covers everyone.
Maybe
you didn't know
last year's Giannis.
Shemmy.
This year's Giannis is a completely
No, you will all
animal.
Of a sudden see Ojeleye with about 15
team.
Minutes a game against Giannis. You saw it last year. You're going to see it again. He's going to come in.
Good.
And he's going to get 15, depending 18 minutes a game. He's going to be on him as best he can.
Listen, you can't compare Milwaukee to what Milwaukee was a year ago. This is a better team. This is a much better team. They're great off the bench. They've got great shooters right now. They open up the floor. They play defense.
That's just it. Giannis couldn't shoot last year. So what do you do going into it this year? Surround him with 3-point shooters.
And he's hitting some threes, by the way, now too, as well. He is a phenomenal player. He's your MVP this year. In my opinion, he's your MVP. He has stretched out his game. He's just I don't know how you stop him. But good luck. But I don't understand this Indiana thing. We're both pleased that they won the first two games because you did what you were supposed to do. Obviously, the alternative would have been worse if you lost one of these games or both of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they did what they were supposed to do. But are we supposed to get excited with what they did when they were in a battle down to the end?
Oh, my God.
I refuse to call these wins impressive. And you know, I don't know. I feel like people are fighting back, yet they'll still admit that, you know, no, it was just a win. You're being too hard on them. What are you being too hard on them for? They won a game. You want to give them credit? Because I've seen that written. Because they came back from 12, they flipped the switch against this team? Then I can't do that. They were two W's. They should
Please
be two
clap.
W's. They're at home. They should have two wins.
I don't care.
They're extremely talented roster. So fine, they won two games, but I'm not going to be impressed with anything I see against this Indiana team. Well, unless they beat them by 25-30, then you say, okay, they're doing what they should do, but they're not. So it's two wins, move on, we'll talk when we get to Milwaukee.
But didn't we both say that they should win these games handedly against the Pacers? And we had
at home, yes.
And we had people that were calling us up, Celtic fans, who said they were going to win these first two games at home, and they were going to win by a substantial amount. They're going to flip the switch, and they're going to do it. So they didn't do that. They were in a nip-and-tuck game, down by 12 at home last night in the fourth quarter, down by 2 with Indiana with the ball, with 52 seconds remaining, and people are calling up today and saying, this is great. They flipped the switch in these first two home games.
You don't think 8 is a substantial number, Glenn?
Unbelievable.
10?
Unbelievable.
12? Can we get 12?
Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox. Oh, my God. You ready for this? And we're going to give away Red Sox tickets coming up at the final hour of the program. David Price has spoken again. I don't know if you're going to be happy with what he had to say. We got it for you. It's coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Dave, when you made the reference in L.A. to holding the trump card, how does that
plus change? Jokers. So
what's that?
Plus the Jokers.
Who are the Jokers?
There's 52 cards in a deck of cards and two Jokers in that deck. Never mind. I hope some people will get that.
There you go.
He likes to talk, and he was talking last night after the game. Alex Spears got it in the Boston Globe today. And despite the fact that we heard earlier from Alex Cora, and he's maintaining a smile, he's maintaining a very positive look at this. He thinks that he sees signs of this turning around, and I actually think he's right about some of the starters, including Chris Sale, as you pointed out.
Oh, everybody except for Porcello.
Right.
Has given you something to sit there and say, oh, okay, right. There it is.
Yeah. I still think there are other issues, but that's beside the point. So this is after this slow start. Last night, David Price says, quote,
this is interesting.
If we don't start playing better, J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, maybe myself, we could get traded. We're, what, 30th in minor league systems? Price noted, referencing Baseball America's recent organizational ratings, in which they did indeed feature the Red Sox with the number 30 farm system. Quote, we're dead last. We don't play better. Mookie Betts will be traded. J.D. Martinez will be traded. It will be tough for a while around here. And he went on to say, I'll give you the stuff that that he wrote about here. Martinez, Price noted, has an opt-out after this year, leading Price to consider a scenario in which the Sox traded him before he hits the open market. Betts, who isn't eligible for free agency until after 2020, is another matter, though Price has seen and experienced how the rumor cycle can swirl around even a franchise icon. Quote, it's going to be talked about. It's going to be written about. Guys are going to be asked about it. We all understand that Mookie Betts has never been through this, said Price. At some point in his life, he struggled. But when he's asked about getting traded on a daily basis, that wears on you. I've been through it. I've seen it wear on different people. It's not for him, period. He enjoys it here. He loves it here. This is the only organization he's ever known. When he gets asked that question day in, day out, whenever he goes on the road and opposing beat writers, they're going to ask about that. That can wear on you.
So Price is talking about his own experiences. It's not like Mookie Betts is dealing with that now. People aren't talking about it everywhere. People aren't writing about it everywhere. And I would say to David Price, well, you know, if you're 25 and 60, you know, I mean, if this thing continues, if you're even 30 and 60, whatever, then you're absolutely correct that at the deadline, you will, and Mookie will be a guy. You know, there'll be other guys, whether bullpen pieces, whatever it is. You're going to sit there and say, where are we going right now? We still have a a core coming back. You know, we start looking at our free agents. You would absolutely trade Rick Porcello if you're out of this thing. And you would think about moving Mookie after you put a contract in his face and if he declines it. You know, or, you know, all these things are possible. There's no question about it. But I don't think you're there yet when you start talking about, you know, we're dead last. We don't play better. Mookie's going to be traded. Do you be traded?
So why is he talking about it this early when you're 6-13?
Well, first off, I don't mind it. You know, for a lot of the things that David Price says, you know, we can sit there, we can whatever, pick at it. You know what it shows me is that, like, okay, is it starting to hit home yet, guys?
I love you guys.
I mean, is it? I think it has been hitting home, to be honest with you, for about a week now. The problem is that the start that you got, this is a tough league. I don't care if you talk about teams that are tanking or not. You go out there on a nightly basis, it is tough to play catch-up during the season. So if you start off bad, whether you weren't ready physically, whether you weren't ready mentally to try to play catch-up once the season starts, you're in a big hole. They're starting to realize that they've got to start righting the ship or things are going to go south quickly.
So he recalled how quickly the Red Sox dismantled their 2013 World Series group, parting with John Lester, John Lackey, Jake Peavy, Andrew Miller before the next season trade deadline. And then he goes on to say, if we don't play better, there's going to be a lot of changes around here. I remember when Boston won the World Series in 2013. In 2014, they were trash.
Well, they were. It was also different, though. You know, it wasn't like this group. For example, when he says it'll be bad here for a while, let's say at the deadline they trade away Mookie Betts and they trade away J.D. Martinez. You think it'll still be bad around here for a while? Some people might think it'd be the best thing for this organization in the future. Now, I don't think
it depends what you get.
I don't think you can lose both these guys, right? I don't think you can lose both of them. But, you know, I don't think it's bad here for a while. Let's say you trade those two players. You still got four guys coming back in this rotation. And you trade Porcello. You still got four guys in this rotation. You know, you just upped Xander Bogaerts. Benintendi's going nowhere. You still got Devers. We'll see what he is. I mean, you'll have an extra, if you lose both those players, an extra $44 million to go out there and find another bat. So I don't think you hit rock bottom.
All right, so let me ask you this.
But I just don't see it happening.
Let me ask you this, where it might put some wear and tear on Mookie Betts. You know, he's right. If Mookie continues to struggle, this team continues to struggle, people are going to, and you know what it's like, you go on the road and you get different writers that show up, different media people. This team is suddenly, if they suck, and they continue to suck, and they struggle here in the next, let's say, couple series against Tampa Bay, you don't think the national media is going to be showing up? They're a story, Lou. How the hell does a team that won the World Series with 108 wins suddenly fall apart and is one of the worst teams in baseball?
Yeah.
And the story's going to be Mookie Betts. People are not going to sit there and say, hey, Mookie, you're terrific. You're wonderful. You're great. You know, how do you hit? What's the art of hitting? Nope. They're going to say, how could you be so freaking good a year ago? You were talking about it earlier with Alex Cora about what he's doing with the bat and whatever. But they're not going to be doing that. They're not going to be breaking it down X's and O's. They're going to be sitting there and saying, are you feeling the pressure? Are you feeling the pressure of the contract? Are you feeling the pressure of losing?
Well, what's going to happen soon, if Mookie doesn't turn it around, is going to be people saying, don't give him that contract.
You know, it sucks.
Oh, but absolutely.
Dude, whatever you do, don't trade him. I mean, don't give him that contract. Trade him.
How would you feel right now, and you and I both said it. Matter of fact, you devised a deal, which I thought made some sense, gave him opt-outs and everything else. If they had given him a ton of money, the whole total contract would have read $350 million, and they had given him to him before the season began because they were afraid that 2 years from now he was going to go to free agency and go elsewhere. What would we be talking about right now with Mookie Betts? Would he be getting a lot more negative feedback right now?
Well, look what we're saying about Chris Sale. The guy's 0-4 with 8.5. Why'd you give him that kind of cash? So now you carry the burden of, now that I'm making this kind of money, I have to go out there and I have to do it. Forget about the whole, if I want to make the kind of money, I have to go do it. There's also pressure on the other end. Now, people say, boo-hoo, you can sleep in your money. Okay, that's true. But the athlete, the competitor is like, now I've got to go prove that I can make it. See, and this is the thing with Mookie. Now, you know, when I always said there's no red flags with this guy, you know they're popping up. That's all. I mean, they are. I mean, you can look at the postseason. He hasn't been right since the end of the regular season. You know, he's off to a slow start now. And this is why I've always fought back when people tell me he's better than Mike Trout. Because it's like he has put together two Mike Trout-type years. Last year, he beat him in the MVP. But there is no Mike Trout. I don't think there will ever be one. And I'm not sure there ever has been one like this guy. Year in, year out. Is there an injury where he loses 10 games? Is there an injury where he loses 30 games? okay, that can happen to any player. I don't think he's an injury-prone player. But every single year, he is the same. He is consistent. I'm not so sure he goes in prolonged slumps. I mean, the dude is a machine. So please, don't ever compare anybody to Mike Trout. Has he put together years comparable? Sure. Has he done it consistently throughout his career? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
This is a little bit concerning, though, because Price knows Mookie Betts. You know, we don't really know him other than, you know, interviewing him and talking to him, saying, hey, how you doing, whatever. Guys are going to be asked about it. We all understand that. Mookie Betts has never been through this. At some point in his life, he struggled. But when he's asked about getting traded on a daily basis, that wears on you. I've been through it. I've seen it wear on different people. Here's the quote that gets you. It's not for him, period. He enjoys it here. He loves it here. The only organization he's ever known. When he gets asked that question day in and day out, wherever he goes on the road, and opposing beat writers, they're going to ask him about that. That can wear on you. It's not for him, period. He knows the guy, Lou. He knows the guy's personality. So maybe that whole idea of pressure and pressing him, whatever, maybe that's part of his problem right now. You know, you were talking the other day that he's constantly seems to be looking over at the dugout. Hey, JD, what am I doing? Well, shoulder here. You talked about that. You see these little things that we don't see. And that was an interesting point. That's not having the confidence in your own ability for what you've learned and just going through the routine of your normal mechanics.
You know, there is one way in which Mookie does remind me of Nomar in that I think all he wants to do is play. That's it. He doesn't want, you know, don't ask for him to, you know, like Mookie, as far as I think, like being promoted, you know, as far as advertisers and things like that go.
That's part of the lack of branding.
He wants to play. Yeah. That's all he wants to do. Don't go to him talking about, you know, just being that leader, that vocal leader. Not comfortable with it.
Okay, bye, Nomar.
I'm just saying, it seems like, and there's guys like this that are just like, listen, all I want to do is play. You guys pay me money, fine, I go out and I play. Everything else, I don't want anything to do with it. Yeah, it makes them uncomfortable.
Okay, but the problem is, and you've been on teams that where there's great expectations, and that's what you have here. Maybe slightly less because they already won it last year, so there might not be as much as you normally would get. But the Boo Birds are going to be out there if this team continues to perform at this level. Could they perform at a so-so level, mediocre right now? I think people would be okay with it. They really suck.
You suck.
I mean, how can they be one of the worst teams in baseball? What are they, second worst team in baseball right now, something
yeah.
like that? How can you be that with all of this talent? So if you're right, and all he wants to do is play ball, and he doesn't want all of that other stuff, he's in the wrong place, and he's in the wrong time right now. Because if they struggle against this Tampa Bay team. Tampa Bay team won again last night. Okay? They lost their ace pitcher. They're still rolling along. They did a bullpen, starter last night. That's what they did.
An opener. They'll probably do it tomorrow night against E-Rod.
Yeah.
Because that's when Snell was supposed to pitch, and he's not now.
Okay. And they're getting away with all of this stuff. They are on a run right now. And this is not recent. This goes back to last season. Second half of the season, they were a killer. They won 90 games. I think they're for real. Now, if they sustain a few key injuries, I don't think they have the depth to keep this thing going. But if they stay healthy for a while, and they just lost Snell, so who knows. But if they stay healthy for a while, you're telling me they can't win the division?
Oh, they absolutely can. There's no question in my mind they can. I mean, they've got some kids that this trade with Pittsburgh still baffles me. Why the Pirates would ever want Chris Archer? And they give up this kid, Tyler Glasnow. You'll see him Sunday. Filthy stuff. They got the kid Meadows, who's just raking for them now. They picked up the kid Avisaíl García from the White Sox that always disappointed. Now he's swinging it. They've got some guys that you don't know. Maybe a baseball fan might know Tommy Pham. But there's some other guys that you don't know that are good players.
How many games has Tommy Pham hit in a row now? It's a zillion,
he's on
right?
base like 48. I don't know. He's got the record
48,
right now.
48 games or something like that.
Voit second, right? So, no, that's a very good team. That's a very good team that is going to be in the playoffs.
So you've got
so you six. Wonder if it's a wild card or they're going to win a division.
So they're playing great right now. You're playing like crap, and you've got six games with them. Anybody feel good about these six games? And here's the problem. You're so far behind now, right now, 8.5 games. You need to legitimately win four or five of these six games. Splitting these six games does absolutely nothing.
Well, I heard Dombrowski with Dalen Keefe today talking about, I think he threw out a number of 40 games. And I think that number is usually like mid-May. I always felt like, you know, you have 2 months to kind of see what you are. You know, and you've sort of the next 2 months to try to fix it, because that sort of falls into that June, July. We're out scouting guys. We've got to pick up a guy. And then the next 2 months, you find out what you made, you know, in August and September. You know, he threw out 40. That goes to basically mid-May. You see what you look like here in the first 19 games. The next 20, you really do have to right the ship in the next 20. I mean, if you play under 500 ball in the next 20, you have serious problems. I mean, you're talking about a team that, you know, what, 14-26? What do you think you are then? I mean, you're 14-26 in that range, 15-25. Who are you? You got to go on a little run here the next 20 games. This thing can get away from you.
6 of the 20 against the best team in baseball and the team that you need to catch right now. All right, we're going to get right back to your phone call. 617-779-7937. Load them up. We're talking about the Red Sox. And we, of course, have the Celtics. Where are all the Kyrie Irving people? We're not hearing from any of them. A month ago. Call after call after call. Got to get rid of them. Go with the kids. You know, we don't need Kyrie. Suddenly, very, very silent today. They're very protective of the team in the first two home games, but they don't want to admit that they might have been wrong about Kyrie Irving. And the Bruins people feeling better about them today. This hour of OMF being brought to you by Speed Technology.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's get you back to more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I found fascinating the comments from David Price in Alex Spear's piece in today's Globe saying, hey, we got to get this thing turned around now or they're going to blow this thing up. Is he telling the truth?
Well, I didn't see David's comments. They weren't in the paper when I read them this morning. No, we're not in a position we're blowing things up at this point. But we do have to play better. There's no question about that. So I think his point was probably to people that, hey, you just can't keep playing this way. Things end up happening. But we're a long way away from being in that type of situation.
I don't know about long way. And I'm not sitting here telling you that they can't get back.
Well, it's not real until June.
Right. But they can't. I'm not saying they can't get back into this thing. But if you really struggle, and they haven't won a series yet this year, right? They have not won a series. If they lose these two series against Tampa Bay, let's say they lose 5 out of 6 here, or all 6 of them.
No, I understand.
Then you're not going to look at it differently?
No, but when you say they're not far away, it's the big picture thing, June 18th, 2 months from now, right? 2 months, maybe 2.5 months from now. You start entering that first week of July. We're talking about 2.5 more months. If it continues, yes, we're talking about it.
Well,
if they don't right the ship, yes, we're talking about it.
Well, the one thing you get
60 games, 70 more baseball games. Okay, I mean, if they're like 30-40, yeah, I mean, yes, but that's just the reality of baseball. I know right now it's new and it's ugly and it's awful and it's pathetic and there's no excuse and I hate watching it on a nightly basis. It's pissing me off. But really, we are talking about 70 more games before we're talking about trading away pieces.
But we're a long way away 70. From being in that type.
Yeah, but they would have to continue to play the dismal type of baseball they're playing right now. I don't think they're going to continue to do that. Though I fear that they're not going to be able to go on a 15-2, 17-2 run because this bullpen's not good enough. And that's what you need. You need everything clicking. I think they'll hit better than they're hitting right now. I think you're already seeing some signs of life of the starting rotation. So that's the strongest part of the team. That's going to get better. But the bullpen, to me, I'm looking at the personnel, and they've been pretty good to this point. I don't think that can last over a long period of time. So I don't think you can get back. But here's why I don't think you end up blowing it up, Lou. because nobody's running away and hiding right now. So the wild card is still going to be available for you 70 games into the season. You might be 15 games behind Tampa Bay.
That's important to realize.
But you're looking at it saying, all we need to do is get a wild card.
That's
and then
important.
We can win in a one-game series.
Yeah, you got to be 15 games out of the wild card, okay? Because you can still fight and sit there and say, once we get in, you know, with how we think we can play down the stretch.
Plus our starters. And we can use our starters in the bullpen.
We win a game, and now we're right where we want to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, now you're right where you want to be. Now, are you comfortable in a one-game play? No, not at all. But there's no chance in hell they blow this thing up if they're 15 games out of first and 3 or 4 games out of the wild card. There's no chance.
Yeah, I don't see it. Build it up for what? To build the minor league system that's been depleted? To build what they built last year?
This is a unique way to build the minor league system. A draft. You got one every year.
Yeah.
You got one every single year. You get to pick 15, 20, 25 players, 30 players. Draft and develop, which very quietly is a weakness of Dave Dombrowski. Okay, you could trade away all your prospects. Let's face it. You know, they did that three years ago. You know, that's when he came in and just said, okay, everybody is gone. 3 years later, where are we? Three drafts later, where are you? You know, so okay, let's. It's not that hard to replenish.
I mean,
all I'm saying is, like, some of the best prospects in baseball right now have been drafted in the last two or 3 years.
They have.
So this is actually. Dave Dombrowski, to me, is outstanding in trading players. You know, he really is. He doesn't miss much. And we don't know about these prospects. He doesn't. He put a World Series team together. What his weakness is once you deplete a system, can you rebuild it? And that, is when you look at his career, might be the biggest weakness he has.
So I know that Friedman ended up going from Tampa Bay, and he's now doing the personnel for the Dodgers. Why haven't, and it continues on, by the way, talk about great drafting. Tampa Bay does phenomenal drafting. And then what they do is once they develop a player and they actually have to pay him, they deal him off and get more draft picks, and they keep on, the cycle keeps on going. But you can't tell me, and a lot of people thought it was just Joe Maddon that was doing it down there with blinders, you know. No, that's not what it was. It's that organization. That organization, the scouts, the people that work out there. How do they do it? Because nobody shows up
at their games. Well, they're finding some value in some guys. And I would say this one's more about trades. You know, Snell, obviously.
Yeah, but he started his draft picks, though. They build players up.
Yeah.
And then they trade those guys away, and they get draft picks.
Archer.
The Mets deal.
What you did with Archer was absolutely outstanding. Right. But then the Tommy Pham deal. I mean, so there's a lot of deals that you're like, okay, this guy works for them. They're just playing great baseball right now, everybody. I mean, even Kiermaier's sitting over 300, and we don't really think much of him as a hitter.
But that organization is pretty damn good. And could you imagine if they had some money to play with? They play with $50, $60 million a year.
Well, if they had some money to play with, they'd probably get themselves in trouble. Well, I'm just saying, if they had some money to play with, they'd probably extend Chris Archer. You know what I mean? They'd probably extend, you know what I mean? Like Garza, you know? Yeah. But they don't. They'd probably extend Longoria, who isn't the same player. So it's instead what they do is they get rid of these guys, and they have a fan base and an understanding that who cares, whatever, trade the guy away before he's about to leave and get other players and redo this thing.
Though Longoria was one of those guys the first week he was in the big leagues. Didn't they give him a long-term deal?
They sure did.
It was unbelievable. All right, 617-779-7937. I'm looking at the board right now. I don't see anybody that wants to talk about Kyrie Irving.
You just beat them all into submission.
I don't understand it.
They all did about a month ago.
A month ago, everybody wanted this guy out of town. So can I rephrase it and make it positive? Do you want the Celtics to re-sign Kyrie Irving?
The internal struggle that is Kyrie Irving.
Because I think if they don't re-sign Kyrie Irving, there's going to be a bad domino effect here, and I don't like it. I think if you sign Kyrie Irving, you can make a big deal, and you can get yourself an Anthony Davis, and you can be on the road right now with maybe competing with the Golden States of the world. To me, that's the road to getting back to that championship level. But if Kyrie decides that he's going to get up and go, you're screwed. We're getting to Kyrie Irving. A cute little team, you know, and you're going to get screwed.
Is it true that when you met your daughter at the marathon on the street, that you when she's tried to talk to you, you
we
said...
We had a little Kyrie talk.
We'll get to Kyrie?
We had a little Kyrie talk.
I heard the same thing.
I thought I heard that too. I thought that was a good draw.
Let's go to Nick. Nick's in Chicopee. Hi, Nick.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen?
Hey.
What's up, Nick? So, a couple points. Now, you guys were talking about Kyrie. I do have a point on that, too. But I'm going to go back to the Mookie Betts part.
Okay.
First, starting off, you absolutely no way, by no means at all, trade Mookie Betts off at all. The dude's got mad talent, mad skill, a great future. You keep him.
Well, let me ask you a question, Nick. Let me give you one scenario. Okay? Mookie, we're going to give you, in the offseason, we're going to give you 10 years, $400 million. Do you want it? He says no.
All right, so that's on Mookie because Mookie didn't make the deal during the offseason. Like he didn't take that contract when it was offered to him, and he said, well, I'm going to deal with that. Excuse my language. Anyways, fair. But so let's say what I was calling about is...
He bleeped it.
Yeah, I know, but then we lose him. Yeah. Listen, nobody... I don't know. Does anybody really want to trade? Nobody wants to trade Mookie Betts. Okay, you got some financial decisions to make. So to me, still, you know, and I think a lot of people right now would say, you know, that contract that everybody was willing to give him a month ago, they may want to wait and see. I still say you put it on the table. And if
he doesn't... I put it on the table today.
Yeah, and if he doesn't want it, then, you know, what are you left with? What if JD opts out? You know, you bring back JD, or do you sit there and say, you know what, we can't because we have to give Mookie $36 million? You know, you heard some of the reports earlier, they'd like to get under a certain threshold. They're not going to be able to do that and sign both of these guys. So if you can only sign one, that's a better question. If you can only sign JD or Mookie, do you let JD walk in the hopes that Mookie re-signs, even though you know that maybe internally he's already turned down a Mike Trout type deal?
That's a big gamble.
Or do you sit there, or are you better off saying, you know what? Nope, we're going to bump JD. We're going to get rid of some of those $19 million options. We'll give him that $24, $25 a year for the next four. And we trade away Mookie because we got to get some prospects. We got to get something in return, maybe a first baseman, maybe a reliever, maybe a starter, maybe depth, whatever, prospects. So it's just comes down to the call might be, do you want Mookie or JD? But the catch is you got to wait on Mookie once you let JD go, and you're not sure he's going to resign.
See, the problem I have with it, Lou, is when you've got the big stars in the game right now are signing extensions with their own team, and they're sitting here
Chris
doing
Davis,
it. Right.
The good one just resigned
Chris
a two-year
extension.
Chris Davis,
the one with the K, the place for in about, Oakland, not
about,
the Baltimore
by the
guy.
Way, for about $17 million a year, that's what the extension pretty much is going to come out to.
That's pretty good.
So... I personally am not sure that JD will opt out at 23, 24. But I know that those next years are 19. Like, he's definitely gone after that. So yes. I would just throw out a, you know, four-year, $100 million deal. Say, I'm going to give you 25, paying you 23. I'll give you 25 or 24 or whatever. So and I think he takes it.
So getting back to Mookie Betts, if he is not going to take one of these extensions right now, and it happens to be an ego thing, where he just wants to go into the free agent market so he can hear other teams just bid for him, I wouldn't take that gamble. You can't take that chance if you're the Red Sox. So the question is, do you deal him in the off season? Because you're not going to deal him during the season. I know Christian was throwing that. I don't think you're doing it during the season. But in the off season, you have to think about it. You offer him the most you're willing to offer him in the off season. If he does not take it, I really think you've got a tough decision to make.
You might have a whole new outfield next year.
Yes.
You want to go to arbitration year three with Jackie Bradley?
Yeah. No, I'm letting Jackie.
You don't want to give him 12?
No, 13, I'm good. 14? I'm good. I'm good. He is what he is. You're seeing it already this year.
But he's got a new swing.
How's that working out for him so far?
Good.
It's a new swing. It's the same guy.
You like that? He is what he is.
He's a wonderful, terrific defensive player. You know what? I'll enjoy him on SportsCenter when he's playing for Colorado or somebody else down the road, okay?
Volcano tour.
It'll be great to watch him, but I don't want to see his four at-bats every single night. With guys in scoring position, I don't want to see that. I'm sorry.
You're good with the toe
every
tap?
Every single night. The toe tap? No.
Have I told you how much I dislike the toe tap? Have I expressed that yet?
You haven't.
Can I get a clean stride? Can I get
that.
A clean stride? No. That's all. Give yourself a chance. Get your foot down and swing it.
And I'm sorry, Lou. When a guy can go 3, 4, or 5 weeks and hit about 435, and then for the next 4 or 5 weeks hit about 082, there's something wrong there. I'm sorry. Work on your craft. Get it together. There's something wrong. Nick is in Connecticut. Next up here on EEI.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Nick.
Listen, Kyrie is the top two closer in the league. I understand you went through some stuff this season. You see the kids playing a little harder when he's off the floor because I think they take on a little more responsibility.
I don't know about that.
But, I mean, when there's 3 minutes left in the game and you're down by five, I mean, the only other player you want to have in the league more than him is Durant. And that's just the way I feel.
Well, you obviously like him very much. I think top two is a little bit overrated.
A little over.
I think you're overrating him a little bit. Top two?
Just closer. Not player, not... I'm talking ball in his hand, taking that shot.
Harden's pretty good.
He's done it. Harden, okay, fine. Harden's right there as well, but Harden has never taken that shot in Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Would Curry do it?
Pretty good.
Yeah, fair enough. Curry's there, too.
So basically what you're saying is, do you not think LeBron would do it?
Six.
Not anymore. Okay. I'm too much of a Boston fan to be on that side.
That's okay. It's good.
And that's the point I'm trying to make. It is so difficult, and he is a closer. You're right. It's so difficult to find one of those
guys. You're right.
And if you let him go, or he decides on leaving, and people here are positive about it, they're sitting there going, that's a good thing? That's what they were saying 4 or 5 weeks ago. You're crazy. You lose this guy.
Call me a homer, but you lose Kyrie Irving, and it'd be the worst thing that's happened. In the past 50, I mean, I
agree.
He's a lifetime talent, and that's just the way it is.
I'm with you there.
Terry Rozier can't do this.
Scary Terry?
He can't do this. He's a nice little complimentary player, and maybe if he got an opportunity with a bad team to start every single night, he's not a point guard, first of all. He's a two guard in a one body, but he can't do what Kyrie does. Who on this team can do what he does right now? Tatum, I love. He's got great upside. He can't do what Kyrie does, and he may never be that type of closer. He needs other people around him. Kyrie's able to do this even though people aren't functioning around him. Who was functioning last night around him other than Tatum?
Tatum.
That was it.
Hayward is all right. Checking in.
Okay.
You know, like the glue with the flu?
The guy with the flu.
The glue had the flu.
That's pretty good.
I cut him a break. There's nothing to talk about with Horford. He's with the perfect team. I told you. It was Jackie Moon.
Rose,
you know, it really was. Like, all year long. It was like, throw it in. Back to you. Throw it in. Back at you. Back to you. Back to you. Jackie Moon. Let me impress everyone with my dribbling skills with no one covering me up court. The guy is what he is. He's a coach's dream. You know, the offense runs to him. He's on top of the key, turns and throws to the other guy. You know, he's a good player. We know that. Okay? And this year he's not asked to do more. In the past, you could argue that he should have done more. This year, he's just what he is.
Scott was good here in studio with us yesterday, but he was apoplectic that you were still on Horford. He was beside
I'm not.
Himself.
I mean, like I said, it's not. But in the last 2 years, I think I've been proven correct. I dropped the mic.
Stay in your lane.
Does Mutton Wiggy know that you're correct?
I've dropped the mic when it comes to
All right, we got another hour to go. We'll give away a pair of tickets. Future Red Sox game. Okay, and we'll go for the next 30 minutes commercial-free right after this commercial break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.